Let's stand up and worship together.
My comforter, my all in all, Lord, by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain, and bursting forth in glorious name, out from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. Just born from Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry till final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. If he returns and calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
Be seated. Thank you, worship team. Good morning and welcome to Harbor of Joy. Got some people that wanted to greet you today that aren't here, have not been here for a while. Al and Sharon Holman said, tell the people hi. And they said, I will do that. And they're watching from home on Zoom. Thanks to Dina Struck. Thank you for getting them on there. And also, Donna Teelber is another one. She's down in Arizona, and she just said, tell the people, I sure miss them, and she's having a lot of fun down there, and she's got to learn to say no. She's saying she's just running here and running there and having a good time and everything, but she's getting played out. But she wants to express her greetings to you as well. And Terry Dirks is sick today, so there will be no property committee meeting today. Terry's just not feeling well. And so, Mom, I just want to say hi to you out there in the middle of North Dakota, where it's probably snow about this deep and colder than Cooter Jones. But good to see you this morning. Glad you're watching in as well. And to many others who are on Zoom today, we are welcoming you to this service as well. Just I want you to know that this Tuesday, there is prayer partners that meet in the library at 9:30 this Tuesday, but then there is going to be a women's Bible study the following Tuesday. Right, Cheryl? On the 21st, if I remember right. And so if you want to sign up for that Bible study, if you want a book that's on by the big window, there's a shelf there. You can sign up there if you need a book. And if you do need one, it's about $13. You make that out to Cheryl Hissinius, and then she'll make sure that you get that on that Tuesday. So it's not this Tuesday, but the next Tuesday, a study will start, which is by Max Lucado. It's a DVD that is entitled, What Happens Next? It's a question mark there. What's going to happen next type of a thing. So we hope that you'll take some time to check that out over there at the church secretary's window. And you also find something else over there today. If you read the bulletin, there are the statements, the contribution, the gifting kind of to the church. You can find your envelope. It's in a little box, I believe, alphabetical order over there by the window as well. That is there for you for tax purposes, I guess. That's coming up too, you know. April 15th, it's not going to be that far away, but it'll be coming that way. And so there's going to be we're in the process of having a fundraiser for Dean and Cheryl Ramsey. And I did talk to Dean this last week. Rob is in the rehab. They've got some people starting to work with him. It's still very slow. And he just says hi from them, and he just really appreciates that. And Dean said this: it's really tough for him to receive anything. So knowing that there's a fundraiser for him and Cheryl, he's having a hard time with that. And I said, Dean, you have to learn how to receive. You have a big heart. You give, 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 but now you have to receive. And he goes, I know it, he says, but it's so hard. And I said, well, it's good for you. You need to understand what that's all about as well. So nothing new to report from out there in Nevada, but just keep praying for Rob as you have been and for the family at this time. And just want you to know that Meals on Wheels is this week. Got 2 days. I think it's on Tuesday as well as on Thursday. There's still a need for someone to deliver on Thursday of this week. And there's a sign up, or you can do that over there by the window in the church secretary's office as well, if you'd like to do that, or let me know personally. And there is a grief share orientation, just kind of informational meeting, 6 o'clock this Tuesday. There's a lot going on Tuesday. 6 o'clock, we'll meet here at the church for the grief share, what it's kind of about. Ask, you know, if you've got questions, you can ask those questions. We'll fill you in. But it's just to give you a little idea what to expect when you come to grief share. It's 13 weeks, and it's you watch a video that has little snippets of different kinds of losses that people have had and are enduring in their life, and it really is worthwhile. Even if you've lost someone a long time ago, you'll be probably surprised what that will also do in going like, oh, that's why I am like I am, or been thinking this way type of a thing. So if you need to talk to somebody, I mean, Norma's been there quite a bit, so you can talk with Norma or myself about that. But that's 6 o'clock. For those of you that are interested, want to make sure that those of you in Harbor of Joy are aware of this first. It'll still be out in the community, but we want to make sure that if you're dealing with any kind of grief, any kind of loss, this will be very helpful for you as you get to learn about what other people are going through or have gone through as well. And they can also be helpful to you. You never know how that will go. And then there's a church council meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night as well. Wednesday, the beginning of Joy Kids, 3:30 to 5 o'clock. And we have second-year confirmation class at 5:30 in the fireside room as well. That's all the announcements. There's a lot more on there, in there. Read them. And I'd just like for us just to have a word of prayer together, and I'll turn it back over. Let me see, the call to worship. I better look at that. After I pray, I'll go to the call to worship, and they'll turn it over to the praise band for a song. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for our time to be here together today. We thank you for those that are on Zoom that are worshiping with us this morning, wherever they may be. But we are very mindful and are glad that we can provide Zoom to people that are no way able to come here to Milford, Iowa. But we are thankful for each and every one. Lord, we pray for those fires and the losses that people have gone through out there in Southern California this past week. And I have no idea what a person will do, or how do you even think? Where do you start when you think about losing everything? And we just pray that however you will work in the hearts and lives of people, and sometimes it's people from outside of the area that will come and help and do things what they can that needs to be done, but it's overwhelming. And I'm sure there's people that are just shaking their head and say, I don't even know where to start or what to do from here. Lord, you are there with them. You understand these things, and may it create a need in people's lives where they reach out to you, where they ask you to come and guide them and to help them in ways that only you can. We think of the people that have lost loved ones down in New Orleans on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. They're dealing, or some of them are probably planning funerals that never ever thought that that would be the case in January of 2025. And there's many, many other needs, Lord, and other prayer requests that we have in our bulletin today that we're aware of, and others that we are not aware of, that we pray that you would be with those that at this time are just at a loss for words, and sometimes finding it even hard or difficult even to pray, and wondering what to do in the circumstances and situations that they find themselves in. But Lord, we're here today because you are our creator, you are the God Almighty, you are powerful, and you can do things that are beside us, which we are grateful for. So use what is sung here today, what is said here today, may it be through your Holy Spirit that will empower us to respond to you today in a way that maybe we haven't for a long time. But we are needy. We are sinners that need your grace, because only you can save us from the sins that we commit from day to day. None of us here are perfect, but Jesus is. May we look to him today. We pray in his name. Amen. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 29. And it starts with ascribe. Another way to define ascribe means to give. So it says, ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Worship team. Responsive reading today comes from Luther's Small Catechism. Questions, you give the answers. What is the law?
The law says,
So when you think of the law, if you had to say one word, it would be what? Do. The law is always telling you do something or don't do something. So what is the gospel? So in one word, how can you describe the law, the gospel? Well, if you got one that says do, the gospel is done. It's what God has done for each and every one of us. He's done it all for us. So what is the first table of the law, and what does it teach? So when you think of the first three commandments, they focus us on God. We look upward. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Those are the first three. And it gets us to be looking heavenward. We'll get to the other seven sometime later here. So what is the first commandment, as I just said? What is the second commandment? What is the third commandment? And so what do these three commandments teach? Point our eyes heavenward and teach us to love God.
A thousand generations.
You may be seated. Of course, you can stand when you get down there. That's fine. But please stand as we hear where God's word comes to us in the book of Luke here this morning, chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. Luke chapter 3, 15 through 22. The people were waiting with great expectation. And we're all wondering in their hearts if John the Baptist might possibly be the Christ. Gives you a little picture what's going on here. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water. But one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this one to them all, and he locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself, that's 23, we'll stop there. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the words that we have before us today, words we have heard, but words we will probably be able to connect the dots to that will help us to understand more of what this text is saying to us here today. We thank you, Lord, for Luke, Dr. Luke, who went out and asked all these questions and to give us a historical account that Jesus really did live. He's a historical man. He walked on this earth. And some of the things that took place before he comes onto the scene through his cousin, John the Baptist. Lord, use what we have here today as a way that you speak to our hearts and that you change us from inside, that we may then live for you as holy people who love Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Just wanted to make you realize that as people were going out to hear John the Baptist preach and teach at the Jordan River, they had to walk quite a ways to hear him and to go see him. It was not just a turn on a TV type of a thing. They had to personally go out and walk or ride on a donkey or whatever to get out to where he was at from Jerusalem. If you lived closer out in the country, you could probably not have to walk as far, but from Jerusalem, you had to walk quite a ways to get out to the Jordan River. But everyone who went out to hear John the Baptist, in our text it says that all of them were asking the same question. You have the crowds, you have the tax collectors, you even have some soldiers that went out there, and they all were asking the same question among themselves, and they were going to ask John the Baptist the same. It's like, what should we do? What should we do? After we hear you preaching and talking, what are we to do? And so, John the Baptist gave them some good words, good answers to their question. They were all kind of like, "What now? What do we do? What do we do?" They just have been probably baptized or heard that God was coming, but God would forgive them. And so as a way of showing that they were repenting of their sin, they would get baptized in the Jordan River. And it's after the baptism, they say, now what? Now what do we do? And the answer that John the Baptist gives to them, he first calls them snakes. You vipers. I'm getting ahead of the text there, but you'll read it there. It says that he calls them snakes. Why are you so afraid of God's anger and judgment? It could be the same way as saying to you here this morning, who told you to come to church today? Is anybody that said, I think you need to go to church, or I think we're going to go to church? Now, if you're kids, you probably go like, yeah, I know what you mean. My mom and dad said, we got to come. We got to go. But hopefully you want to come because you want to be here. You want to hear God's truth. You want to worship him. You want to be together with other people that love him as well. But who told you to come to church today? Was it God who put that on your mind today? Is it just kind of a routine? This is what we do on a Sunday. You know, I got to get this done. I got to kind of check that off of my life or my list here today, and then I'm good to go. Hopefully it goes deeper than that. Hope it's because you want to be here. You know that God wants you to be here, to hear his word. So let me ask each of you here today that what was the motivation for the people that went out to hear John the Baptist? What was their motivation in going out there to see him and to hear him? Because they were all wondering, after what they heard him say and what he was doing, they were all wondering, could he possibly be the Christ? Could he be the Messiah that the prophets of old have been telling us about? You know, he's doing things that no one else is doing. Off the cuff kind of things that people are responding to, that we find them doing nothing like this in Jerusalem or in the synagogues that we go to. But out here in the middle of nowhere by the Jordan River, people are responding to who God is. So John preached the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Do you know that you are a sinner? Do you understand what that is today? I'm a sinner too. A sinner is someone who misses the mark. You know, God's wrath is on sinners. But God has also provided a gospel, the good news, that he will forgive you of your sin. And he's provided his own son to demonstrate how that is done. And then do you believe in his son, that he's what he has done for you in dying on the cross for your sins? That's how we get clean. That's how we acknowledge who we are. There's only one who is perfect, and that's Jesus, his son, because he is God. Remember, his name was Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, his very name means to save. He's our Savior. So John the Baptist is the one that the prophet Isaiah said that was to come. Someone is going to be out there with a voice in the wilderness. And what he is going to say out there in that wilderness is just the foreshadow of the Messiah who is to come. But he's going to proclaim who the Messiah is going to be. And he does that. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He says that in John. He calls him the Lamb of God. So really, you know, we say, hey, I'm a snake. I'm a viper. Headed to hell because of my sin. I'm a sinner. That's where sinners go. People don't like to hear the word hell today. People don't want to be told that's where they're going if they don't have Jesus Christ in their life. if he is not your Savior. God has no choice. If you reject his Son, you do not believe in his Son, then, my friend, you've chosen your own way. There is no second chance once Jesus comes to repent and say, I'm sorry, I should have believed a long time ago, but I didn't. It's where you're at today. What's your relationship to Jesus Christ today? That's what's really, really important. John the Baptist says, even here in our text today, he says, I baptize you with water. He's telling his people that. I'm just doing water and repentance, that you would come and respond to God's calling to you. But there's one who is coming that I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. John the Baptist understands that he too is just a sinner. And he needs a Messiah. He needs a Savior in his life as well. And then he goes on and he says, the one who is to come, that I am unworthy to even untie the thongs of his sandals, it is he that will baptize you, not with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Interesting that he adds the word fire to that. There are some theologians that as I studied this, that said that the fire has to do with judgment. And that the judgment does not happen until Jesus comes again. That the fire will really happen, which is judgment. In other words, John is telling these people that he isn't the one that they are thinking of. He is not the Messiah. He is not the Savior that the prophets have told, but he's pointing to Jesus Christ. That's who they need to come to know who he is. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, says the same thing. John the Baptist is not the one, but it's Jesus Christ that they need to be believing in. And so he gives an illustration. He gives an illustration about taking a winnowing fork to clear the threshing floor. Now, in Israel, it would be going up onto some kind of a little knob, a little hill, where the wind could come, and they would kind of trample down the wheat or whatever they grew as grain, they would then take the fork and throw it up into the air, and the wind would take care of the straw and the chaff, and the thing, and what fell straight down would be the grain, because it's heavier. They would then separate the grain from the chaff. The grain was kept and put into a barn. The chaff was always burned. And so John the Baptist is telling them this illustration, because they'd all be very, very familiar with what goes on here, where he says, if you've repented, then may the fruits of repentance be shown in your life. We go to the fruits of the Spirit. If you repented, if you truly repent, then you live a different life. And it's not you that can do that in your own strength, it's what God does in you. That's the good news. That's what the gospel does. It can only change us from the inside out. And we can do, because God's Spirit lives in you, Jesus Christ lives in you, he accomplishes and gives you the power to live the fruits of the Spirit. So you're a different person. You're not the same as you were yesterday, or just a minute ago, or a second ago. You're changed from within. A lot of times, as Lutherans, we don't abide by that, do we? A lot of times in the Lutheran teaching, it's baptism. You're saved at baptism, and that, you know, as long as you've been baptized, you've been confirmed, you're going to heaven. Case closed. Baptism is the beginning. But how many continue on in living that faith out when they're baptized as an infant? How many people do you know of that by the time they get confirmed, you never see them again after they're confirmed? They don't even come to church. I can show you a picture of even the last class that was graduated here from Harbor of Joy. Look at every one of those kids. Do you see any of them here? You see their parents here? You don't. Just a fact. Just a fact. So how do you grow as a church if you don't see the younger generation coming to church? Something is missing. Could it be where they just don't see Jesus Christ being lived out in the hearts and lives of people here? I don't know. The fragrance of Christ is fragrant and it's good. The fragrance, if it's the devil, it smells like rotten eggs, like sulfur. People don't want that. John the Baptist makes his point, and his mouth got him into trouble. He would talk to Herod the Great's son, one of his sons. He had four sons, and when Herod the Great died, each one of his sons got part of the territory in Jerusalem. Herod Antipas, who ruled around the Sea of Galilee, which is interesting because that's where Jesus had his ministry, often around the Sea of Galilee. But he told Herod Antipas that it wasn't lawful for him to take his brother Philip's wife as his own. And that's when, it was kind of like, when that's the straw that broke the camel's back. He said, John, I'm throwing you in prison. And Herod Antipas enjoyed John the Baptist. He liked listening to him. But it was his wife, Herodias, who was married to his brother, who held a grudge against John the Baptist. And she knew that her husband, Herod Antipas, wouldn't do anything to John the Baptist because he liked him and liked to listen to him. Even though he didn't agree with him, he just liked what he had to say until he had that big party. Remember the big party? And then his daughter came and did the dance, and he promised her, amongst all the people who came at that banquet, I'll give you half of my kingdom. Just name it. And she went back to talk to her mom, Herodias. Not a good thing to do. And she says to her mom, Mom, what are you going to say? And her mom says, ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Herod Antipas was caught in what he just said to all of his bigwig guests. And he ordered to go get the head of John the Baptist. So he had John the Baptist killed, beheaded. John the Baptist told it like it was. Not everybody liked him. But he stayed true to who he was. He spoke the truth even if people didn't want to hear it, as we have there with Herod Antipas and Herodias and all the people that were there at that banquet. So what was John the Baptist's motivation? It was really this. It was all about Jesus. That was his motivation. It's all about Jesus. Everything he was saying and talking about had to do with the coming of the Savior and who he was. For some reason in Luke, he goes from John the Baptist being put in prison, and then he goes into the beginning of Jesus' ministry, which is oftentimes when he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. It's not that he had to be baptized of sin because Jesus was perfect. He had no sin. But he did that as a way of identifying that he is like everyone else. And there you have the Trinity at his baptism. Jesus is there in his present, in his body, in his as who he was as a person. But you have what looked like was the Holy Spirit that came down and landed on him. It was like a dove. And you have the voice of God saying, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." So you've got Jesus there, you've got God's voice who is there, and you've got the Holy Spirit that comes down like a dove. And that's the beginning of his ministry. And we find that John the Baptist starts fading away out of the scene. Everything becomes focused on Jesus Christ. John the Baptist even says this about Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 30. He, referring to Jesus, he must increase, and I, as a person, must decrease. Jesus is greater than I. So it's all about Jesus. Now, John could have said, "Well, man, look at all these people are coming out and listening to me preach and teach, and look at all the baptisms that are taking place here. I could really kind of put that on my, notch on my belt or something, and look like I'm a very successful preacher and teacher and evangelist." But you don't see that with John the Baptist, do you? He just acknowledges that he's doing what he knows what God has called him to do. Like it or not, God is one whose words are more important than anyone else's. So John did not defend himself. He just gave the message that God gave to him. People need a Savior. If you're a sinner, you need Jesus Christ by faith. The grace of God is here today, willing to be given to you the moment you just believe in who he is and what he's done for you. Remember the two words. The law can be summed up in one word, do. The gospel is always done. It is what God has already done. That's what we respond to. And we can't even do that on our own. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to see that and to give us that conviction to say, "I need a Savior. I'm lost. I need a Savior." So let me just ask you this in closing. Are the fruits of repentance, are they active and involved in your life? Is there a real change in your life because of repentance? An easy way to remember repentance is you know you're going away from God, but the moment you turn around and go back to him, then you've repented and you do things God's way and not your way. So are the fruits there? Are you a servant as Jesus was and what Jesus taught? Find that in the book of Philippians. Being a servant, having the same attitude as a servant. We can only do that as the Holy Spirit works in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes you speak to us in ways and times we aren't ready for it. Help us today to recognize that you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords, and that you've come to save us. You've come to find us. We are the lost sheep. You left the 99 who were not lost, but you went to find that one, which could be anyone here today. Or maybe one is still lost here today and needs a Savior, needs a shepherd, the good shepherd, to come and to hear his voice and to follow him. Lord, those are good words when we hear the shepherd say our names. And he says, come. I will forgive you. Just come and receive what you need, and only I can give it to you. It has nothing to do about what you have done. It's about what Jesus Christ has done for you that makes you a believer, that changes you from the inside out, where he comes and lives in you as well as his Holy Spirit. And it's a lifelong work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word that points us that it's all about Jesus Christ. No one else. It's about Jesus. May we be found in him and serving him and loving him. And may others see Jesus Christ in us. And so we pray, Lord, with the prayer you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction. It comes to us from Jude, the very last two verses of Jude. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
all bring glory.